Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 1st. A foggy one at that. Joining us this morning, noted CPA, Mr. McCauley. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Brian. Good morning to you.
Hey.
Happy December. Can you believe it?
I'm still getting used to 2000. The two is the first digit.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You've written it a whole lot more often than I have, it's probably common for you.
That might be true, but yeah, it's been, I don't know, you date yourself when you start talking about how fast years go by, but...
But at least you're in fine company then.
Yeah, well, that's true, what's the alternative?
Yeah, yes, sitting in the closet, talking, and nobody responding, yeah. Mm-hmm. Winston, why do we say that? Do you have something appropriate for this morning?
I found one with a question mark next to it, so I'm not sure if it's been used, so we're going to go with that one. Why is taking a morning after drink as a pickup called taking a hair of the dog?
Dog hair.
And we have a dog at home, so you should have...
Dog fur? What do you
think? Well, it's the hair of the dog that bit you, so, I mean...
Yeah.
So... If you over-imbibed, I don't know why that would be a taunt. Why dog hair would be a taunt.
I haven't figured.
But I do understand the bite.
Yeah.
I've heard of people having a morning after bite.
Yeah, a little Sunday brunch kicker. Huh? Yeah.
Audience gives you half credit there because you were close. Because the ancients believed that one of the best cures for hydrophobia or any other disease you might obtain from a dog bite consisted of taking a hair of the dog that bit you and placing it in the wound.
Well, I don't think I deserve half.
No. That would be as, having a maid sweep up and get dog fur.
So
that would be as close.
My experience with dogs is if you have a wound, you're going to get a hair of the dog.
There's no option on this thing.
My son has a German Shepherd, and he refers to it as a German Shedder. It's got the undercoat, the overcoat, and it seems like it's always jettisoning one and adding another.
They're always blowing a coat.
Get around that dog and you get some on you.
Oh, boy. Well, here we are rolling into December. Do we have any clarity with anything yet regarding some of the governmental funding that has gone on, some of the governmental funding that's being discussed, some of the forgiveness, some of the non-forgiveness, some of the advances that we got, tax deferment? I guess the state this morning came out with something lovely saying that if you have sales tax in your business under $1 million, you can defer. It just seems like there's this big ogre around the corner, and we keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, and sometime we're going to have to come around and deal with it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I haven't been at the office yet. I got my hair cut this morning. I'm pretty happy about that.
Ooh, snappy. So, they got a little excited on you.
Yeah, it was getting to look like COVID hair, so it was time. So I got my hair shortened. And not that it's a big job, but so I haven't gotten a chance to see what the state's doing. One observation with the state of California is that when COVID started, they did some extremely scary budget projections, which were designed, I think, to try to attract some federal money.
Worked.
And the state of California had these really, really, really draconian, scary budget numbers that, in terms of what really played out, actually the numbers came in much better. So the revenues have been better thus far than what was projected. And however, and now the state's trying to figure out what do we do with that money, because we actually have more money. So of course, being the state of California, it's going to be, there's going to be voices that say we just should spend it at any cost.
Yeah.
And there are other voices saying we should, save for a rainy day. And there's other voices saying maybe a balance. So we don't know what's going to happen. And clearly things have been cut, and, You know, I mean, everybody's got their own viewpoint. I mean, I think some programs work, some don't. You know, some probably should be funded, some probably shouldn't. That's my own opinion. Everybody's got their own, and I certainly respect.
Well, I think everybody agrees that some should be funded more and some should be funded less. Yeah. It's just the technical elements of that statement. Yeah,
right. So, California probably has a little more to play with right now than they were, at least publicly expecting. So at this point, that's okay. However, you know, keep in mind, California has a structural budget deficit that we don't even talk about because they've got so many unfunded liabilities.
Yeah, the retirement plans, for example.
Right, that are not part of the normal budget analysis. So we say, oh, we're running a surplus this year. No, we're not.
In addition to that, you've also got some of the payroll taxes that are lessening as those making more money are fleeing the state.
You've got some exiting of California with businesses. I have heard anecdotal things about that from people in different places in the economy. I do think clearly there are people leaving. I don't know to what extent. I think California should be concerned. This is just my own view of the world, but I think if technology companies, particularly let's talk about the Bay Area. Those companies, just by definition, are going to be. It's going to be much easier for them to potentially relocate or do things differently than it is for more staid companies with the old Sears and Roebuck of the world, that have and that's not to say. I mean, if you go down to Santa Clara near where the 49ers used to play football.
You heard about that one, huh?
Yeah. There are huge technology campuses down there. It seems like they go on for
frighteningly
miles.
Huge.
Yeah, they're and who knows? But I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer. I'm just saying those companies have more options potentially than one might think.
And I think a lot of folks have figured that out because of the last little bit that maybe they don't need to be wherever they are.
So it's going to be there'll be some interesting shakeout with all this, and it's hard to know.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, with the updates and all the changes and this's and that's and speculations, what's a guy or gal supposed to do now as we've got, three weeks and change to be able to figure out yes, no, up, down, left, right, green, purple, red? I mean,
I cannot think of a more difficult year to do tax planning in than this year in my 30-something years in accounting. The challenges, the unknowns are so, there's so many of them, and they could be really significant. I mean, let's just take one example. We've got a new administration coming in. Unless lightning strikes and there's something else happens, but I think the general presumption is Biden has won the election; he's going to be president. So, assuming that eventuality occurs, which I think is near certainty at this point, now we're going to be waiting on what happens in Georgia to find out, How does the two Senate seats go? Does it end up with a 50-50 Senate or a 51-49 or 52-48? We don't know. And all that could have a huge impact on the new administration's plans, the new president's plans for tax law. Keep in mind what is said on the campaign trail with regard to tax law. We just laugh at it when they say it, because they'll say, as an example, Biden said, if your income's at this level, you're not going to have any tax increase. Well, that's true, but you're planning to roll back the ones Trump put into place. So anyway, so semantically,
You can't bank on anything at this point.
You can't. I'm not saying Biden's any different than anybody else who's ever been elected president in this country. What you say on the campaign trail doesn't always translate to what's real and what's able to be done once you get off the campaign trail. And not only that, there becomes other pressures, other things that are going on. So practically, we have no idea what the Biden administration will do, because we don't know if there's going to be a Republican Senate or not.
And the retroactivity potential is what is the question mark.
Well, it's typically tax law is not effective. The earliest date a new tax law is effective typically, and particularly for tax increases, is the date that the law was introduced into Congress. That's the earliest date they tend to go back to. Generally, what we don't see is the new administration's got a lot to do, and besides immediately introducing a new tax law. So these tend to come maybe in the fall, and so it might be a while before we have that. And so retroactivity to increases in rates or changes in the rate structure or changes in structural tax concepts. We don't know. We don't know when it'll be effective.
So how do you start developing a plan?
If I'm sitting here talking to you, Brian, and we're saying, for your business, we're trying to figure out, what should you do before year end? Because we don't want to, are we planning for higher tax rates in 2021, or are we not? What about all the uncertainty that we have relative to businesses that took PPP loans and how those are going to be handled? I know more than I knew before. I knew more than I knew a month ago, today. But there's still things we don't know. And so we kind of have decided, I've told my partners February 17th is when we're going to get answers. That's the date I've picked. I think we're going to have answers that can help us do tax returns that were already due, because they're fiscal year corporations and things like that. I think we're going to get answers for June 30th, fiscal year corporations that were due back in September 15th. We'll get the answers on how we should have been doing those returns, probably more definitive answers by, and again, my prediction is February 17th.
That's your over-under.
Yeah. So that's the problem, is we have so many things that are uncertain, that to sit down with a client and say, this is what we want to plan for, because we're expecting, we know tax rates are going to be at this level next year. We don't know. Are they going to be higher? Could they be the same? They could absolutely be the same. They could be higher. They could be lower. The Biden administration has specifically said they're going to, we should probably, I think that enough things are said that if they get what they want, tax rates are going to go up. And so, but for whom?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Now, for the individuals, is there enough potential impact to be concerned about? Let's say if you're, pick a spot on the spectrum, because obviously some will be tagged and others won't be. Do you just say, there's really not that much flexibility I can do at this point? Let's wait till the last 3 days of the year and then figure out if I need to be selling things or buying things.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, because the last 3 days of the year are basically a holiday week. It's really difficult to get things done. I think what I'm in general trying to convey to my clients, or is in the people I'm talking to, is that it's a time for a break.
Yeah. We'll continue.
Thank you. Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. But look, so if we've got a big old question mark out there, sitting still and just watching the minute hand on the clock go round and round and round isn't typically a good strategy to use in the planning series. So what do you do?
Well, and this circles back to the big tease at the end of the, you know, right where our last break, Brian. I'm telling my clients we have to just kind of, you got to make some assumptions to move forward, or you know, paralysis is not a good decision making tool. So I think what you have to say is, look, tax rates might be a little higher next year, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to make decisions based, you know, my
current knowledge.
My PPP looks like it's going to be taxable, so I'm assuming that, you know, that you know, even though the program was set up that those PPP loans, when they were forgiven, was going to be tax free. The IRS has made some changes in that in terms of, based on their interpretation. Congress could clean it up with some
in an afternoon
legislation. They could in an afternoon they could clean it up if they wanted to, but right now that appears to be an income. In effect, even though it's not income, we just can't deduct the expenses, which puts you back in the place of saying it's income. And so those, I think you just have to make the assumptions based on what you know today and make decisions based on that. Because if you think, oh, well, something might change between now and you, it might not. And if you wait too long and you don't have time, you know, you're going, well, I'm going to wait till the 20th of December. Something might come along and I might have more clarity. Are you going to have enough time in that last 11 days of the year when you consider that there's Christmas and maybe, you know, maybe businesses are not very accessible on Christmas Eve and Christmas, and then there's New Year's? I mean, that last week of the year is very difficult to do a lot of business. I mean, we do a lot. There's still the tax planning things that get done in that window, but the point is, you know, people get cash basis taxpayers, pay bills, and get pay for items that they can that are reasonable in that window.
Wrote down, should, in general terms, because of the lag now with some manufacturers, should we be buying things and placing orders now if you're in that kind of a scenario? Do you hold off and go, not worry about it? I mean, because, you know, other than buying, like, sorry, folks, it's business talk, office supply gear and things that are traditionally readily available.
Yeah, things that are going to be consumed in the normal cycle of your business. You don't buy 3 years worth of items. You can't deduct 3 years worth of purchases for your office.
Stay away from the bathroom supply area.
Yeah, oh gosh. Well, you can't find that much toilet paper anyway. Americans are crazy.
That's got to be one of the cultural events of the year.
I am at a total loss to what makes somebody think they need to go buy. I mean, I'm sure you can explain it to me. And anyway, but it is the fact that we have a run on toilet paper. It's like, why don't you get what you need? And if everybody gets what they need, we'll be fine. Anyway, I'm missing the obvious, I guess.
Yeah.
The point is, and people are going to do their normal. I think to some degree you're going to end up doing a lot of your normal tax planning. If you're a cash basis business, you're probably going to be trying to make sure you get everything paid up before the end of the year. And if you had a good year, you're probably looking saying, hey, yeah, this is probably the time to get that computer in here and get it in place, or whatever that piece of equipment might be. Even understanding that for next year, you know, we may find out that tax rates end up being higher than they are this year. So normally we might defer expenses into a year where we expect higher tax rates. But we don't know. So, you know, when you don't know, I think it's really hard to create all these, you know, construct the world and go, okay, that's what it's going to be, and be right. And that's the problem.
So what is the difference typically between those who plan and hit it or those that plan and miss it? Are you talking 1%, 2%, 10%, 20%? I mean, how sleepless in Seattle should we be about this?
Well, I think the reality is that I think this year we just do the best we can under the circumstances and let the cards fall where they're going to fall. You know, it's going to be hard to get things too fine.
Now, what about for folks like on fixed incomes, mm-hmm. and things of that nature, where you know they're maybe more dependent on government,
yeah.
determinations and rather than
think about others? The person who's on fixed income who has Social Security income, maybe a small pension, and then they've got some money in CDs that they use to supplement the interest from the CDs to, and they don't want to spend down the CDs because that's their dry powder. Well, what are CD rates right now?
Yeah.
I think you need the microscope.
Microscope or binocs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean they're very, very low. I mean, you know, I saw some the other day and you know, they're just, you know, less than 1% for a 1 year CD, you know, and that's the top end of the rate of the available rates. I mean they're infinitesimal. And so people who are trying to live on that, that's going to be a challenge. And they may end up having to spend down some of their principal, which means you don't have those assets to earn on in the future when rates change, if they ever do, because we've been in a pretty low interest rate cycle for quite a while.
And versus putting it on a credit card.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, which is not really viable. More liquid, but not really viable.
Yeah, that's hard. That's a really hard thing. But people whose incomes are tight, it's not a good time.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Final couple minutes this morning with Mr. McCauley. So, Billy, what do we expect? What do we do? What do we think? You know, buy a nice bottle of your favorite beverage and just kind of sit back? I mean, for regular guys and gals, or do you just kind of think, you know, I'm just going to have to do an extension? Period, that's it, and we're just going to let things do the best as we can, but don't anticipate April 15th, anticipate June 15th.
Well, that's an open question, too. I mean, if we end up being shut down, if the economy is shut down to the extent that it was last spring, I don't know when, you know, if April 15th is going to be the real date or if it's going to be something else. So those are and really that's just so far out of my control. I'm not worried about it right now. I mean, I think for most people right now, you're making decisions before December 31st that can impact your business. If you're on the cash basis of accounting, you've got one set of things you can do. If you're on the accrual basis, there's another thing. A lot of those things are the same things we've been doing for years. So that part.
So the
not
basics
new.
Are still in play.
Yeah, that's not new. The challenge is that there are other new things in here that are have dust in the air, and a lot of that's some of these new programs that we got in response to the virus that have open questions that haven't been resolved, and those open questions and future impacts are hard to fully quantify and understand, and that means that what you do in between now and your end may not be a perfect strategy because we may not know till February 17th.
Well, now there's discussion about another stimulus infusion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the next 2 weeks? Huh. That kind of throws another variable into that equation.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is if you got an economic impact payment last summer, you know, a number of taxpayers got, depending on income level and a bunch of other criteria, people got payments back.
Checks from the Fed, yeah.
You need to know what the dollar amount of that check was. They sent you a letter that said, here, you know, and you got a check copy. You need to know the dollar amount, because if you didn't get the maximum, you could be entitled to more when your tax returns filed. You won't have to pay back if you got too much, but there's a true up calculation that's going to occur with your tax return. So there's a bunch of things, you know, between businesses with PPP loans and EIDL loans and all these other things. And what we're going to see is that the amount of time it takes to do tax returns is going to go up, which is going to create a real problem for us because we don't really have any extra time.
Whatever the state of California.
Right.
Or yeah. Pick a state.
We're expecting a very challenging year, and that we're going to spend more time on nearly every tax return we do.
Well, I wish I could offer to help you out, but I don't think you want me anything close to details. But you knew that coming in. Oh, boy. Well, hey, Merry Christmas, because it's going to be New Year before we see you again.
Yeah, that's...
another frightening statement, huh?
It might be not frightening for you, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye.